I am joined by someone who I respect a ton. He's been following me for quite some time. I've been following him for a while when I saw him training with Dusty Hanshaw. I'm here with Tommy Styles, NPC bodybuilder. I'm an awesome coach. Great content online. So if you want to see someone who knows how to train hard, Tommy's your guy. So Tommy, welcome to the Aces Fit podcast.
Thanks for having me on, man. Thanks for the kind words. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I always like to have a ton of people on that actually know how to train the right way.
Right.
I think that's the one thing that I've started to kind of delve into the last few years getting into bodybuilding is actually the execution and everything. We can totally get into that because I think it seems like that's been a big game changer for you recently, at least in your last off season compared to this one now. Looking at your execution of your workouts, it seems to be just getting better and better. So I think that's been an awesome aspect that I think we could touch on in terms of intensity and control of workouts. But let everyone know, kind of give your little spiel over who you are, a quick introduction to yourself, how you got into the bodybuilding world and the coaching world. And yeah, then we'll take it from there.
Yeah, so, you know, bodybuilding, I got the bug early as far as being a fan. Saw Dorian and Jay when I was 17 and some magazines and books, and that was it, man. I knew that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to get huge. So I started lifting when I was 12, and then I kind of just self-educated myself all the way through. I didn't do my first show till I was 23, so I didn't have a grasp on how to build a diet until I got into my first competition prep. So I had never followed a structured diet until the day I started my prep. And then, you know, I got into it. I had tried to, like, you know, do all the things I was reading and, you know, obviously the 1 gram a pound with protein. Like, I knew all the basics that I was getting in the magazines, but, you know, this was 2007 to 2013. There was no social media the way there is now, in a way where you could learn. Where I grew up was pretty rural. So there was nobody else trying to do what I wanted to do. There was nobody I could look up to, no mentors. So my first prep coach ended up being my very first mentor. And he's kind of who just got me introduced. I did my first show with him and then went from there. So fast forward now, I've done 6 shows, did junior nationals last year, taking this year off, probably be back on stage next year, but it's been a long game. You know, the process of building the body is what interests me the most. The stage is just it's just a byproduct, gives me something to do for a 20-week period. But I wouldn't say I don't love competition. I like the competing aspect, but it's more so I just love the process, the whole year round dedication required. Kind of like a form of self-mastery to me. Because I've grown up through bodybuilding. I've matured. I went through careers, relationships, people, places, I mean, states, parts of the country. So bodybuilding has been the one thing that I've held on to through all the different change and seasons of my life. But I got into coaching and personal training about 4 years ago. I was a firefighter paramedic. My first year of doing that was the first year I competed. Because, you know, competing is expensive. You want to have some sort of a solid income to take on this lifestyle. You know, if you're paycheck to paycheck, you can make it work, but it will probably be a lot more stressful for you than if you have at least some solid money coming in.
Yep.
So I did that career for 3 years, you know, did 4 shows while I was a firefighter, was able to jump from a middleweight to a light heavyweight. You know, I put on a lot of size, but at the same time, like, that career was never going to allow me to get to where I'm at today. And that was something I wanted. And I grew to, you know, be bitter towards that career as I was going through it. And I just, do I really want to do this till I'm 50 just because I get a pension and I'm secure? And the answer was no. You know, I quit overnight. Kind of, I've told that story a little bit here and there, but, and then I just dove into personal training. I had a full roster after 2 months of leaving the fire service, started online coaching people I was training, just doing it all for free, trying to learn. I think the first person I ever took money from was like $75 a month. And then it's just progressively, you know, went up as my experience and skill level goes up based off the results I can get. And then, you know, my own assessment of myself, I'm very humble in how I look at myself as a coach. I've never thought I was the best. I've never, you know, I probably never will. There's so much to learn and so much to keep adding to your arsenal to be better. Yep. That's just my whole way of life. So that's kind of where we're at today. You know, the style, strength, and performance, what you see behind me, that's my coaching business. I personal train at the Muscle Factory, which is the gym I train at out here in Arizona. And obviously I got some other projects going for as far as my income, but that's, you know, I'm self-employed.
Yeah. So getting back to the first little bit that you kind of talked about, because I'll touch on this throughout in segments over what you just brought up. So you think the missing component that a lot of people see is they see competing as like a gateway into things? Because the one thing that you kind of mentioned is you mentioned the long haul. So you went from 12 to 23 without competing, but you trained the whole time, right? You were training, eating. Obviously, it wasn't like the right perfect eating in terms of where you're at now and your probably philosophy with off-season diet and things like that. But do you think that's a missing component in today's world, like in terms of bodybuilding, is so many people are trying to get to stage as fast as possible rather than actually taking that long route in terms of building the actual muscle needed to get onto, to actually be kind of bring a respectable physique to the stage?
Yeah, I think that can be said. You know, I knew I loved training before I ever even found out about bodybuilding. You know, I had a weight set in my parents' basement at 12, and I started my own form of progressive overload before even knowing what it was. The weight set was 115 pounds in total, and my goal was to be able to bench the whole 115. So I did that systematically without even realizing it, but that just made sense to me. Like, add 5 pounds this week, add 10 pounds next week, you know, X amount of reps, whatever. So I think most people I know that like are in this game for the long haul, they love training, and bodybuilding is just a byproduct of that, but they'll train in some fashion until the day they die. And that's me. You know, the goal may shift when I leave the competition realm and I'm no longer trying to get bigger and, you know, do all the things that are necessary to be a good bodybuilder, but I will always train my body. I will always train my human and my spirit to be competitive and to be the best I can be in whatever I'm doing. So yeah, I don't think that love is established for a lot of the people getting into it. Cause they're finding out about it through social media, or a friend does it, or whatever the case may be. And then it's like, it's almost like the window shopping analogy. Like, they see something and they want that without even having a base understanding of what it's going to take to get that. You know, it's like saying I want a Ferrari, but only making $20,000 a year. Well, the Ferrari you want is probably a decade or more away. And that's all the work you're going to have to do to get the kind of income to get that Ferrari, right? Even as simple as like, I probably get 1 to 2 inquiries a week where the very first question I ask on my questionnaire is, what are your goals? And, you know, a lot of people want to be a pro that have never competed. I'm all for unrealistic large goals, but these are also people who've never even been to a show as a spectator. So not only have you never even seen the thing you want to turn pro at, you've never even done step one, which is the first show. And you've never, you know what I mean? Like, that's great that you want to be a pro. Tuck that one in the 5-year plus vision board, because there's a lot of things that have to happen for that to even be a possibility. Right. So yeah, I do think people are jumping into it. I think it's the fitness industry kind of makes it seem like if you turn a camera on and, you know, film a bunch of shit and create content that you can make, you know, 7 figures a year. And it's like, yeah, there's money to be made in this industry, but there's a lot of behind the scenes work that goes into that. I always talk about it like it's a mountain. We're all climbing a mountain. Like, I'm still at the middle of the mountain, maybe even lower. You know, Dusty, who's, you know, probably my greatest life mentor, he's at the top, he's up there, but he's still looking for people to chase, to keep chasing success. And that's the case for a lot of us. Like, it's a long game. And if you don't have passion for what you're doing, you won't last. And that's why, you know, the older I get, I just kind of stay in my lane. I don't worry about what others are doing. I don't worry about what new person comes on the scene, or I try not to focus too much on what other people do, just because I've seen people that were in bodybuilding before me, they're already out. I've seen people that came in with me, they're out. I've seen people that came in after me and they're out. So this, it's as much as it is about, you have to have passion. You have to be able to outlast everyone else to get to the top.
Yeah. I think it's definitely an endurance. It's an endurance type sport. Like, if people think about it, like, it's really like, it's how long, and you discuss this a lot, which is how long you can be consistent for over time. Right. I think a lot of people get sick of what they have to do to continue to make progress, and they're not willing to eat the same five meals every day for the whole year in more or less quantities to actually get to the point where they make progression. And that, I think that's where people kind of quit, right? Is they don't see the progressions needed in the physique. And it's just like, then they're wondering why they're not getting there. And a lot of these things come down to people don't train hard enough, and people usually aren't consistent enough with their food to actually get to like one place in time.
Yeah. I mean, bodybuilding is still the one thing that does have time as a factor. You know, technology and the advances that we're seeing every year, like, everything we want, we can have relatively fast. I mean, I could place an order with Amazon on this podcast, depending on what it is. It might come tonight, but it's definitely coming tomorrow. You know what I mean? You can't order a pro physique on Amazon. And that's where I think culture and society changes things too, because we are in a fast pace. I mean, we went from drive-throughs to now we have DoorDash. Like, everything can be delivered to you. Everything can be almost given to you. But the one thing you still have to bust your ass for is, like, in what we're talking about is a pro-worthy physique. That's time. There's no way to speed up that process. I mean, you can, even if you abuse PEDs, like, that may work, that may not. And then you may have a host of other problems to deal with. So bodybuilding is still the one thing, no matter how technologically advanced we get, you're not going to be able to rush it. So yep. The passion is in the patience, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And I kind of want to discuss your all in kind of moment. You discussed the firefighting and you discussed how you kind of went all in. So discuss that decision that went through it, and that story behind, you know, you quitting overnight and moving to Arizona to kind of pursue the life that you wanted to have. Because I think this is really important, because I think a lot of people don't do that and they don't take that risk. So I think being able to share that story would be great.
Yeah. So it, you know, I got into bodybuilding with the intent of still, you know, it was never my intent to be a coach or a trainer. I was a firefighter. That was the career I chose. I went to school for, I got my paramedic license. That was the goal. I checked that box. And then bodybuilding was, you know, as much as a hobby as it was a lifestyle. But I think after, you know, 3 or 4 years of doing it, I was just really starting to question whether I wanted to keep, is this what I want for my life? Like, that kind of the man thinketh moment, like, man, I got this job, I went to school for it, I have a retirement building, I'm secure, I have health insurance, I'm 26 years old, like, this is it, right? This is what you're supposed to do. And I'm just like, I don't know. And I just was questioning it. And then the fire service is very paramilitary. You know, there's a chain of command, top to bottom. I was obviously a newer guy because of my time on the department. I worked for two different departments in my career. And man, I just don't, you know, I have a hard time with authority and being told what to do. I'm very much keep to myself. Like, I can follow basic instructions, but I don't like being talked down to. I don't like being made to feel like I'm dumb when I'm not. So that was always an issue for me. I got a big mouth. I got in a lot of trouble in the fire service just because of my mouth. I talk back, and you can't do that to your superior officers. You know, I roll my eyes without even noticing it. I might sigh. Like, I just, stupidity bothers me. So when I have someone who I think is less intelligent than me, above me, who's able to give me orders, like, that just wasn't going to work for me. So, my performance was suffering as far as my job, just because I didn't want to be there. You know, the last 4 months I was there, I was getting to work and I would sit in my car and have to will myself to go in, for a 24-hour shift. And I just kind of knew, like, this probably isn't sustainable. But again, like, I didn't have a backup option. I didn't know what I was going to do. Even when I quit, I just knew I had a gym I could personal train at. He would give me a break on rent for a few months while I got some clients underneath me. I knew I had three right away that I could sign up. And I knew I had enough money coming in from all the different bonuses and pension or different stuff through the fire department that would be hitting my account. And I had a savings. I mean, I was 26. I wasn't like fresh out of high school. So I knew there'd be, it wasn't going to be desperate times right away. So I had a bad shift. I got off shift at, I think it was 8 a.m. at that time. And I just decided, I was like, I'm not going back. And I didn't. I called a buddy who was on the same department as me that day. And I was just like, hey, man, I'm done. Keep it quiet. I'm going to burn all my paid time off and sick time over the next month. But yeah, I'm out. And I think the Arnold was that upcoming weekend. I went to that. and just kind of like, started game planning from there. Like, all right, this is out. And I never second guessed it. I never was like, well, maybe I, when I make up my mind impulsively or not, like, I don't look back. So that was it. And then I knew, like, you got to find a way to make money, regardless if it's through personal training. Like, the idea of like what's behind me, this forming, that wasn't even on my mind. It was just like survival. What do I need to do to pay all my bills, to still bodybuild at the level I want to and keep advancing? And, go from there, because you see like homeless people in any state you're in. But when you quit your job and your career and you don't have a backup plan to make money, then you're like, I could see like maybe how they got to that point. You know what I mean? Maybe they're not losers because they're homeless. Maybe it was something like me where they were fed up with a job, they quit it, and they failed at making money to make ends meet. So one day I just put that into perspective. I was like, I whatever happens, I cannot fail. There's too many people that would get to say, I told you so to me because I quit a career at 26. No one around me could understand why I would do that at that time. Now people get it, but it was like, you're doing what? And other than Dusty was the only one who was like, congrats, because he knew that I was betting all in on myself. And you either succeed or you fail when you do that.
Yeah,
it's 50-50, flip of a coin, like, you pick. So it really wasn't hard for me to make that decision. And then Arizona happened about a year later, a little over a year later. So right out of the fire service, I got into training. Like I said, I became the manager of a gym in Metro Detroit, managed that, trained there, started taking online clients over the next year. Just getting things built up. I didn't have like a business plan, but I knew this is what I'm going to do. I just want to be self-employed. I don't want to ever answer to anyone again in that way, like I had to in the fire service. I kind of was outgrowing Metro Detroit. Like, there's just not a lot of money there in fitness and coaching. And there is, but it's in small pockets. And the area I was in didn't have it. So I had always wanted to move out of state. It was always like a goal. Once I got into the fire service, it was kind of like, well, that dream's gone, because now I'm married to a department. So I never liked winters. I hate cold weather. So it's just never been a thing I enjoyed, snow and stuff like that. So I've been to Arizona once to play baseball when I was 15. I liked it then. That was the first time I ever like took recognition of the sunset and how beautiful it can be, and just what a great moment in the world it is if you can catch a sunset at 15. And then I knew Dusty was there, and I was just kind of like, I was just in a weird place mentally right around the time I decided to do it. I just went through a breakup, and I was just kind of like, fuck it, I got to get out of here. And I just sent him an email. It was my check-ins one weekend. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to move to either Vegas or, you know, metropolitan Phoenix area. Let me know what you think's best. And he said, you know, Vegas is a 4-hour drive. Phoenix is a pretty good area for what you're trying to do. And that was all I needed. 3 weeks later, I packed my car and drove west, man. Like, I don't know. I think I wouldn't advise anyone to do what I did the way I did it. Absolutely not. But at the same time, like, I've always responded best if I just throw myself in the fire and figure it out. Like, you know, I quit my career. I never once had to borrow money from anyone. I never went to my parents and was like, hey, I can't make rent. Like, I've been good since then. So I've proven I can handle that. I made it to Arizona. I never once had to like move back to Michigan because I ran out of, like, you know what I mean? You start to become invincible, or you realize how powerful you are when like the world doesn't end because you do these crazy things that people from the outside looking in will judge. And it was almost like, you know, I wanted to move, but Arizona, you know, is what it is. I almost feel like I was summoned here. Like, it was just a part of my path. I had to come here. And then, you know, me linking up with Dusty to become training partners, that didn't happen for 9 months after I was already here. That wasn't like a just because I'm in Arizona. Like, I was still an online client. We hung out a couple times, but it wasn't like it was, you know, when people saw it as it was, you know, as we were starting to train together. So just all these things just started happening, you know, the world just started happening for me instead of me looking at it like it was happening to me. And I just don't think any of these opportunities would have ever been there if I didn't, you know, jump off the cliff and figure it out. And that's kind of been my thought process moving forward, has been like, well, if this coaching business fails, who's going to really remember it other than me? After, you know, after a short, it's like there's something new happening every day, and our memories and our attention spans are so short-lived with how fast social media is now. Like, if this business fails, I'll just start a different one. And that's kind of how I've evolved to thinking, like, if something runs its course, like, figure out something new. Like, that's the beauty of life. Like, you have a whole life to do whatever it is you want to do. So in 5-10 years, I may not want to coach another person ever again. And that's fine. Like, just like I did with the fire service and just like I did with Michigan, I'll just stop. And eventually, you know, maybe I won't want to live in Arizona and I'll just move. Like, the world is yours to do as you wish. You just have to not let fear kind of dictate what you do.
Yeah. I think that's a big thing. It's pretty funny because I'm like 24 right now and I have a good job and I bodybuild and I coach on the side. Obviously, like, the goal is to bring the coaching up to the point where get to where you are, where I don't have to work for anyone anymore too. I kind of have a very similar style with things. I'm very blunt in terms of my opinions and how I like to give them. Do you think it's actually funny because I talked to Dom Kuza about this. And it's really funny because you guys are both Michigan guys. So it's really funny that you guys are both talking about the same thing. Do you think it's really important to not have a plan B in some of these cases, like where you really want to make a huge change in your life, to not have that, oh, I can go back to this. Like, do you think that was an important part of your process and actually becoming what you are today, in the fact that you didn't have that plan B to kind of fall back on? Like, you were just like, oh, well, I'm here. It's time to do what I need to do.
I mean, for me individually, yes, there cannot be a plan B. As I've gotten older, I realized that it's not a bad thing if you try something and were to fall back. You know what I mean? Like, I see people leave their home state all the time and maybe 6 months later, they're back. Now, I don't think their reasoning for going back maybe was right, but maybe they did realize in that time, like, hey, this just isn't for me. But, you know, I talk a lot about contracts, all these contracts I make with myself to get to where I want to go. And like, not that I had any desire to move back to Michigan, because like, as soon as I hit the Indiana border, I knew right then and there that I was not going back. And it's never crossed my mind. Never even thought about it. I took one trip back and this past February, and I mean, it was cold. I just was reminded of why I left. Like I outgrew that place. So for me, no, there's no plan B. You know, I could get a job as a firefighter probably today if I wanted to. I mean, there's such a shortage everywhere, but I don't want that. And I'm stubborn enough to where I'm going to make it work somehow, some way or another. But I think some individuals are different. I thrive on that survival mentality. Like, you know, I lived in a gym for 8 weeks in Michigan at one point, right before I moved. I lived in a hotel when I moved here for 2 months. When I say I moved to Arizona, I just moved. I didn't decide where I was going in the state of Arizona till I got to Missouri that night to rest. And then I started pulling up hotels and random idea. Like, I was like, oh, maybe I'll get an Airbnb. Maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll do that. And I found the extended stay had a kitchen. I was like, I can bodybuild out of here. The way I look at things is like, I always create like a storyline about it. I was like, this is awesome. I'm living in a hotel, bodybuilding, chasing a dream. Nobody outside of maybe two people actually believes I can do it. Like, it's like the underdog story. Yeah. And I just created this whole almost like hype, not to like post about, but more so just for me to like, yo, this is what's got to get me out of bed every day. And this is why I won't go to bed at night, is because I got to make this thing happen. Just like I said, there's a lot of people that would love to be like, I told you so, if I failed leaving the fire service and moving out here. And that might come from jealousy. That might come from whatever reason. I don't care about those people, but I can never let them be right. So I kind of got off topic. I think some people do need a plan B, because at some point you do have to assess, if plan A isn't working and things are getting worse, you probably got to make a change. For me, you know, I moved out to Arizona before COVID. Like, I had to deal with all that shit too. I still found a way to get better from every minute I've left the fire service and every minute I've left I left Michigan. So like, linearly, I'm still on a path of success and growing and getting better and evolving. And as long as that's the case, you know, that then I know I'm on my path. So there can't be a plan B for me individually, but I don't think everyone has that like survival mentality, and they don't view the world in the same way I do. So maybe a plan B is actually necessary to keep from running too far into the ground with plan A.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Living in a hotel, I can't imagine living in a hotel for 2 months. What was that experience like?
I mean, that was my first time having my own bed in like 3 months. So for me, it was an upgrade.
Yeah.
I had been staying on a couch in the gym, and then I stayed on a air mattress that didn't hold air. I was just crashing at, you know, this house for like a month. So for me, it was like, I got my own bed, shower, bathroom, internet, utilities are covered. I could do all the things I need to do cooking wise in here. I didn't have much to my name as far as, you know, materials. So all the stuff I did have was just in tubs, kind of shoved in the corner. And that place just became like my laboratory, or my facility for executing all the manifestations I have. Everything I've done now started there. Like, you know, starting my coaching business, starting my YouTube channel, getting a website developed, my personal everything I'm doing now started as an idea there. So I look at that place now as like, man, it by no means am I done as far as like how far I want to climb up the success ladder. But at the same time, like, the further I get away from that and the more comfort I allow myself to have in my life, I realize like those times of struggle were some of the best times of my life. And like, I wouldn't voluntarily put myself back in a hotel again, but man, like, it was a great time, because like, it's just, there's a mentality that you have there that you, it's hard to create that when you're like upgrading and you're living in nicer places and just all these things. Like, it's almost like when things get too easy, I let off the gas. So I have to keep myself at a level of discomfort in as many ways as possible. And some people might not agree with that. Some people might, you know, think I'm trying to be hardcore or whatever, but that's literally just to keep me, you know, with the foot on the throat mentality.
Yeah.
Like, you know, out here, like, it gets hot. It's hot right now. So in my prep, I was driving to and from the gym with the seat warmers on, the windows up, and the AC off, and with a hoodie on. It was like, I know it's not doing anything different for me getting in shape. I just wanted to feel it. I wanted to feel discomfort and to know that, like, you can turn that air conditioner on, you can turn that seat warmer off, you can roll the window down, but I didn't do any of those things. That's just where I have to put my mind to, like, stay success hungry.
Yeah. You know, I find, and this has happened with me too. I've had this same kind of logic where you look at your moments of struggles and you only look at it in that moment. It might suck. Like, you might kind of think it might suck mentally. But then you kind of go down the line, and as you start to get better at life and everything starts to kind of, you start to see the good side of things, you really start to have a more gratitude towards those things. And I feel like that's where a lot of the lessons are learned, is when you start flipping the mindset over what you went through, is change from a kind of suffering, struggling mentality to a more grateful mentality that happened. Like you kind of mentioned already, it wasn't happening to you. It was happening for you in that moment to actually make you grow into where you are today in terms of things. Yeah.
Gratitude is, it's an untapped fuel source that a lot of people don't utilize enough of. And I think, you know, me exposing myself to so many different philosophies, and then stoicism has kind of allowed me to really find gratitude first before I find, like, before I look for empathy from others to me, or before I look for sympathy, or like, even before I like have that internal moment where I pity myself. Like, you know, the first night I ended up in the gym, it wasn't like I got kicked out of where I was staying. Kind of like everything else in my life, like, it just happened and I'd had to react. And it's like, I've never looked at like running back home to my parents as an option. Like, you know, I left home at 17, and other than like a 9-month stint when I was 19, I never lived there again. So, you know, I was on my own. It was my situation to figure out. The gym was an option. So I had a couch there. I stayed there and I ended up living there. And my first night there, I just put it into perspective for myself. And I just said, you know, it could be worse. I have a roof over my head. I have my meals. I'm at work on time because I work here. So I'll be here in the morning when I'm supposed to be here. You know, this is fine. This is what it is. I have something to lay on. It's better than the floor. And I think if you can do that in any situation you're in, like, it's never as bad as it seems. And on the flip side, it's never as good as it seems. Like, if you're riding a good wave, just buckle up, because something's going to happen to throw you out. That's how it's ups and downs. That's kind of what I've learned about life. It's like, you'll ride that high and then some lows will come to let you know that, like, that's not how life goes. It's not meant to just be highs. But if you can find a way to, like, look at your lows in a way where you don't fall off course for months and months and months, you get stronger. And then even your lows become your highs. So it's very interesting to me. I'm very fascinated to what the mind is capable of, but you're in charge of it. It's your story. It's your game that you're playing. And I find the more outside bullshit that you let infiltrate your mind, it can get pretty muddy. So what I talked about earlier is, like, I very much stay in my own lane with my own bodybuilding, my coaching, like, what I'm doing. I learn a lot from a lot of different people, but I also, like, I don't have that FOMO in me. I don't see somebody do something and say, oh shit, I need to be doing that. Like, I'm very much like, I know what works, but I'm also open to continuing to learn, to apply more.
Yeah. I think the mind is probably one of the greatest things that we teach someone how to control in terms of things. Especially, you probably see this a lot with coaching, And how people execute things and how people handle stress and things like that. And mainly like the stress component is the one thing that I see with people, and they struggle to actually control that because they let those outside things just flood their mind. And they don't, like, I was asked one time, I remember, cause I keep bringing this up cause it was actually a really good point. My coworker comes into the office. Well, we're not in the office, but the virtual office. And she's like, how are you never stressed about anything? And I'm like, cause it doesn't bother me. I was like, I know we're going to get it done. I was like, the projects are going to get done. They're going to be fine with it and they're going to like it and we'll move on. And they're like, how do you not get upset for these little setbacks? And I'm like, cause it's going to happen. Cause you got to ride, like Jansen, I think Matt Jansen coined it, ride the midline. Like in terms of everything, like it's don't ride those highs. Don't ride those lows too much. It's ride right in between, kind of take them on the chin, kind of take them for what they are, but just keep yourself like stable throughout that time. So you think the mind, do you firmly believe in the statement, like the body follows what the mind thinks? And that's how I think about things when it comes down to coaching. So I find that a lot of coaching in general is a lot of mental work rather than it is just telling someone to push harder and train harder and eat less and walk more.
Yeah. I mean, that's the X's and O's of it. But yeah, like you said, the process itself is a mental one. I do subscribe to that, what you said. Like I say it in personal training all the time, like the body goes where the mind leads. And I don't think it'll ever be the opposite. If the mind isn't ready to attack something, the body will give out. I don't think you can rely on your body to be there for you if your mind's not. I mean, think about trying to gut through a tough workout on no sleep, or maybe you had a fight with your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever the case may be. Like, it's the mind that will lead the body. It's not the other way around. Like, if your mind's still in that fight, your body is not going to do all the things it needs to do. It's not going to connect to the working muscle. It's not going to keep you safe by any means. So yeah, I think the mind is our greatest muscle that we need to work more of than the body, truthfully. And I don't think enough people do. And yeah, I see it a lot in coaching. The whole stress thing you're talking about, Joe and I just recorded a podcast on that very topic, which will, that drops tomorrow morning. So that's kind of, it's just divine timing that we're talking about that now. But stress and how you manage it is a very underrated variable towards everything, not just with bodybuilding and, you know, working with a coach, but in life. A lot of people cause their own problems because of how they react to stress. It's like, if you look at whatever stressful moment you're in and you take a step back and get out of the tunnel vision, that moment is such a small nano percentage of your life as a whole up until that point, and the rest of the life you're going to have after that point. If you could just remind yourself, like, hey, this probably doesn't matter as much as I'm reacting to it right now in this moment. If you can ground yourself and like bring yourself back to homeostasis and back to the midline, like you mentioned, like you're gonna be fine. But I think there's some people that, you know, whatever, it's a chemical makeup or genetic trait, whatever. I think some people are addicted to stress. Like they yep. need that. They need that constant fight or flight response. And I'm very much the opposite. Like I am so laid back that people think I don't care, when it's just the opposite. Like I've been practicing stoicism for 5 years, that you don't know what I'm thinking. You don't know where my head is, because my poker face is so good. And I'm not trying to do that. That's just how I look at the world. Like, I don't like to react. Obviously I have, you know, I could turn it on for a working set. I'm the loudest guy in the gym. As soon as that sets over, you know, I'm back to how I am, even keeled, everything goes back to the midline. So, you know, long story short, I just think, yeah, stress management is a very underrated tool. And if, you know, I probably got a head start on it because I was a firefighter. I was thrown into stressful work situations. Like, yeah, you got to keep your shit under control or you won't perform. And like, you're required to perform or you lose your job. So, you know, I learned like that I could control my breathing even in a fire while on my hands and knees with smoke and fire going over my head. Like I learned to be able to control my breathing. So somebody cutting me off in traffic or somebody saying something about me on the internet, like that doesn't affect me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just, but you gotta coach yourself in a sense too. You gotta teach yourself some of these things. I can do a lot of things for people as far as like enhancing their mental, but you got to put in that work too. That's you know, whether it's breathing work or reading, you know, I've consumed a lot of different philosophies, like I said, and it's just bulletproofing my mind and my spirit to be able to endure life in general, but obviously bodybuilding.
Yeah. And then the last thing I want to talk about, because you kind of mentioned him a few times and I mentioned him in the beginning, how has the influence of having Dusty in your life really kind of changed you into who you are kind of today?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody knows my name without Dusty Hanshaw. You know, he's my mentor. He's my brother. I always, you know, if I got anything going, like a life decision to make, I'm probably counseling with him before anyone. If anyone, I probably wouldn't even counsel with anyone else, truthfully. It would probably be him first. He just has a way of putting things into perspective. Even I can like look at things not as simple as they are. And we're all nobody's immune. Like I'm not better than anyone just because of how I'm talking. I still have a lot of work to do in my own path. But Dusty is very much that, like, I don't want to say like a conscience, but I just know I can go to him and like the answer he gives me will be, it'll be in that moment what I need to hear. And then it's over from there. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm indebted to him for life as far as how grateful I am for everything he's done for me directly and indirectly. You know, that's the one quality I look for in a mentor, and others should as well, is like, that person should be living their life in a way that mentors you without them even having to like put effort into it. They're just doing it by how they carry themselves. And that's something I've tried to take upon myself I have a lot of younger athletes I coach, a lot of first time competitors, a lot of people wanting to get into this and getting exposed to it. Like, you know, it's real shit. The deeper you get into bodybuilding, like, well, even if you don't go enhanced, like bodybuilding will consume your life. Consume your decision making, especially when you're new. It's hard not to be consumed by bodybuilding. You almost have to be consumed and have no balance to even earn a spot to have some balance down the line. And then you may find like where I'm like, I don't want balance. It's a matter of like not needing it or not needing it. I just prefer not to have it. Like I do better in life, and my overall outlook on the world is a lot better if I just stay rigid in what I'm working towards. And I already mentioned earlier, like when that's no longer bodybuilding, when that's no longer what I want to work towards, it will be an easy transition for me. Mm-hmm. Just like it was to quit the fire service, just like it was to move. Like I won't wrestle with it, but you know, I'm nowhere near that point. If anything, I almost feel like, you know, I'm just getting started all over again with all the knowledge I've been able to obtain and you know, different people I've learned from and just how I look at the world in itself too. But, you know, getting back to Dusty, it was just like, I remember filling out the questionnaire in 2017 and I didn't say the typical, like, I want to go pro. I've never actually said that. I want to obtain a pro level physique, and if that's good enough to get a pro card, then that's cool too. But I want people to look at me and think I'm a pro rather than the other way around, me be a pro and I not look like a pro. So you know, I just told him, like, I want to learn through you. Like I'm a student. I want to learn every single thing that you teach me. I want to soak it all up. And he told me, like, you know, at the time, I think the plan was to do a qualifier in junior nationals in 2018. I didn't end up competing till 2021, just life and all that shit. But he's like, we'll do these shows. and we'll start building your legacy. And it was like, okay, now I'm kind of, now I see that this can be more than just a hobby. Like I can actually take this somewhere. And then everything else has kind of happened probably because of that. I didn't realize it at the time, but like me, you know, growing tired of the fire service and leaving, me leaving Michigan, it was just all a means to like go all in this thing, go all in on this thing that I had kind of decided in 2017. But yeah, I'm just, you know, training with him definitely elevated it too for me. Like I have trained, some of the hardest training I will ever train in my life was with him last year. The things we would do and not even think twice. And it's like, some of it was probably unnecessary, like way past the point of central nervous system fatigue. And, but I think you need to be exposed to that too.
Yeah.
If there's one thing I see younger people doing that I didn't do, and they're right in some ways, but they're also wrong in some ways, is like, you got to learn how to be gritty. You got to see if you even have some dog in you. And that's what I try to get out of a lot of my clients, is like, man, I almost need you to break form and have a really shitty set so you can just know what it's like to have that effort. And I'm not saying break form to the point where it's like unsafe, but so focused on being 100% proper. And it's like, there's some aggression inside of you that you have to bring out. You need to feel what that's like. And I don't think I'd ever tapped into that without training to Dusty or training with Dusty. And now, you know, I know, like, if I ever need to channel that, it's literally just a flip of a switch for me. It's yeah. not something I got to watch Machiavelli motivation videos for. It's not something I even have to have music in my ears for. Like it's a mental switch that goes on and it goes off as soon as it's, you know, done. But I learned all of that through him. A lot of it through online coaching, but it definitely like being in person with him and the way we trained. I could look back at all the videos I have and we did some crazy stuff, man. And that was the fun of it too. It was just competing with each other. And, you know, I'm training with Dusty Hanshaw, like the sky's the limit. I'm never going to outstrength him. So for me, it was just like, I, the only way for me to go is up. There's no way to get worse. Yeah. It was almost just like, this is a perfect setup.
Yeah. It's really funny because you brought up the first few years, like you got to be obsessed whether you're enhanced or not. And it's like, that's what I'm in right now. I'm in like literally almost now in about 10 days, we'll be 2 years into strict follow the plan, do everything by the book. No regards. And my friends kind of look around and they're like, you aren't balanced at all. And I'm like, I don't want to be. It's like, I want to be the best I do. I was like, there is no balance in terms of that. And it goes into it like every single, like I'm in just even like a regular fat loss phase right now because we did 19 months of growing, like never missed a meal, ate whatever I needed to, got it all done. And now I get to reap the rewards for 5 or 6 months where I finally get to have a little fat loss phase, but I'm treating it as, even though it's not a prep, I'm treating it as a prep. Like I don't miss my steps. I don't miss my cardio. Like nothing's been missed. And I think that's, you're right that you need that. Not having balance because it's really delved my love into what I really want to do. And I think that's been, it's been some of the best 2 years of progression wise in terms of my physique and my mental state and my business and everything from it. And then you're also right about the training aspect. I think a few weeks ago, we decided to take a page out of Dusty's book and decided to do a Widowmaker on the pendulum. And we're like, okay, let's
nice.
I just told my partner, I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to put 3 plates on this. I was like, I don't care for speed of the reps or however much I want to get 20. I want to at least get 20 reps. Ended up getting 21. And I was like, okay, died at the end of that. But it was like, you got to push your right. I think you got to push yourself to an absolute limit. And you're right that it's really is just a flip of the switch. I use a lot of classical music when I train now. I kind of learned that from like Trained by JP and things like that, where they use those types of strategies. But I really found it clicks for me when it comes down to doing those sets when you need to kind of just shut things off. Cause you're right. It doesn't even need to be music because by the time you're in that set, you're not even hearing that music. That music's just, it's a blank, it's a white noise compared to where you're at because you're so in here that there's nothing else going on. So I think those are two big things that I've learned too, like that I just resonated exactly with what you were saying, because I'm there right now currently. And it's really obsessive, but it's where you need to go if you want to kind of, I don't care. I told people I probably won't have a pro physique. I probably never will, but I'm going to work hard to get to where I want to get to. And it's like, I love bodybuilding. I love the training aspect. Probably one of the hardest trainers in my gym. I don't like saying that, but I'll take it. But yeah, I think it's a pretty cool thing when you really dive into bodybuilding and what it can do for you when it comes down to it.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, and Joe actually said this on our podcast, that's what got me thinking about, like, bodybuilding is self-mastery. I don't think I would have got into all the stuff I have with philosophy and stoicism if it weren't for bodybuilding. I started listening to stoics or podcasts or whatever I was finding on stoicism in 2017. I was in a prep and I just had, you know, 45 minutes to an hour of cardio every morning, and I didn't own a TV, so I needed something to do. Came across like a Conor McGregor video on YouTube where he talked about it. And then I just kind of dove, and then I found Marcus Aurelius, got that book Meditations. I've read that cover to cover like 5 times. And it was almost like an initiation, or like the way people get baptized if you're religious. That was kind of how it felt for me. Like, I just got exposed to this whole new way of thinking that wasn't a part of the way I was brought up, or no one around me was talking about it. Nobody at the fire department. So, I think without bodybuilding, I never would have been exposed to that. And I wouldn't be who I am today. I wouldn't, I do think I was called on to be a trainer and a coach in some way, because, you know, I was a big baseball player growing up, played all over the country. You know, I didn't start out good at that. I got good at it because of just hours and hours and hours of repetition. Same with bodybuilding. I don't think I'm a good bodybuilder. I probably never will look at someone and be like, yeah, I'm a great bodybuilder, but I do have a strong work ethic, and I'm not afraid to work hard for something. That's actually my drug, is working hard and just giving more than I gave yesterday. So those are all things that I found out about myself through, you know, bodybuilding. Before that, it was baseball. But getting back to the coaching thing, like, I think I was born to lead in some capacity. It wasn't as a firefighter. Like, I had no problem following what the guy in command was telling me to do on a scene. I didn't want to be the guy that people look to. I didn't want to be the leader, but that's because I didn't have the passion for it. Firefighting was just something I did, excuse me, to, you know, you needed to be doing something after high school. I went to college for kinesiology. I failed out after 1 year because I got into partying too much. Went to a, you know, community college for fire science, did all that, EMT, paramedic, all that. And I can look back at this now. I never wanted to do that. I just needed something to do to not be a loser after high school. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was either that or join the military or get a job in skilled labors. Like, you can't just be a bum, at least the way I hold the standard for myself. So I was going to school. I was checking that box. I was in that age bracket where you're allowed to just kind of hover and be going to school, working towards something. But looking back, I never wanted to do that. I just did it because I needed to be working towards something to get a job. Right. So, coaching and training, just kind of like Arizona, I just felt summoned to do it. And then once I got a taste of it, like you mentioned earlier, like, obsession's a gift. I don't care what anyone says. Anyone that tries to say you can't be obsessed or it's unhealthy, like, it's probably not successful, truthfully, because I have studied all sorts of different successful people, from musicians to actors to actresses to sports figures to not one of them has ever said the secret to how they got to where they are was balance or, you know, lack of obsession. It was, they didn't just practice what they were doing on a Sunday and then they, you know, they climbed to the top. That's not how it worked for anyone. So I do think balance is earned, and it's earned and learned, I should say. But it's not something you can even keep in your mind. Like, that, to me, that's a crutch in the beginning. Like, if I'm thinking about balance, like, well, the next guy is probably not thinking about balance. You know what I mean?
Yep.
As much as I don't compete with others, like I'm competing with everyone because I want to be the best. So, yeah, I think, you know, you're many years ahead of where most people your age are because you think like that. And just stay on that path. I wouldn't deviate from that, especially with the training. You know, I'll even surprise my clients because they all, well, the in-person ones, they know what the plan is ahead of time, but they almost get so married to just performing, you know, say the range is 12 to 15, like, oh, just 12 to 15 this set. And I'll shock them. I'll be like, once they get to 15, I'll be like, all right, five more. All right, five more. Drop set. All right, 10 more. Like they did it and they get through it, but it's almost like the deer in the headlights look when they're done. Like you were getting too comfortable. You were just doing 12 to 15 and that was it.
Yeah.
So I do think, I don't want to say you need to shock the body, but you're capable of more than you think almost every day of the week. Now, when you got to take into account recovery and fatigue and all that shit, it shouldn't just be going to the gym to see how hard and how crazy you can train. But at the same time, there is some merit to learning how to do that and then learning how to apply it towards your training.
Yeah.
I'd much rather have to teach someone to pull back than to try to inspire someone to give more, because I bet the person that I have to try to teach how to give more will never get there. Unfortunately. And that's just because they're not willing to unlock that door within themselves.
See it all the time. You probably see it often too as well. I see it all the time where sometimes I just keep, it's continual for months on end. It's you have more, you have five more, you have four more, like you have these many more reps. You have to say it over and over again. But I appreciate you taking the time to come on the podcast. I got to go eat a meal because I'm dying of hunger right now. I end with the same three questions for every single person. So, first one is, what, give us a few things that you want people to leave with after listening to this episode.
The mind leads the body. The body doesn't lead the mind. You are never as strong as you're going to be tomorrow, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And I would say, just because we talked about it, like, whatever you're going through, good or bad, it's never as good or bad as it seems.
Awesome. Second one, and I think you're probably going to have some good recommendations with this one. Three books and or podcasts you recommend everybody either read or listen to. That's not your own podcast.
Yeah, no plugs. Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. I recommend that one to everyone. Relentless by Tim Grover.
Just got finished that.
Yeah. And then this will apply differently to people, but The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho, I think is the name.
Yeah. Awesome.
It's a different read, but it's solid.
Now you get to plug yourself. Where can people find you? Anything, Instagram, podcast, coaching, whatever you want to give your 15 minutes of fame here.
I don't have that many minutes. Instagram is T Styles 2, TSTILES, and then the number 2. Stylestrength.com is where you can find information about my coaching and my coaching questionnaire. My YouTube channel, Tommy Styles, which is where my podcast is. It's in the incipient stage. So myself and Joseph Percher, episode 2 drops tomorrow, but we coming at you with one a week. And then I have my training videos that I post up there, but those are probably my big three. Nothing else that I really use. I'll cross the bridge and get TikTok at some point, 'cause I do see the value in it. But right now I got enough things to manage.
Yeah, I still haven't crossed that bridge. I'm good. I'll stick to my reels on Instagram for now. But I appreciate you coming on the show. I appreciate everyone who listened to the episode. If you enjoyed this episode, tag Tommy and I on your Instagram stories, share it out with a friend. There's some really good life lessons in this one that probably a lot of people could hear and take away from. If you also enjoyed the episode, subscribe to the podcast if you're new. Leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple and Spotify. As you guys know, the podcast is brought to you by Morphogen Nutrition. So you guys can use code SPADA for 10% off all supplements at morphogennutrition.com. And yeah, that's it for here. Tommy, thanks for coming on. And thank you everyone for listening to this episode of the Ace of SPADA podcast.